It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is the DGS sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. So when I was a kid, and mind you, I just turned 60, so it's been a while, but when I was a kid, there was a commercial for Norelco where Santa would be riding an electric shaver over the snow, and I would get all excited, and I'd be like, Mom, Dad, it's Christmas time. And so my new version of that is Operation Food Surge and Hardee's, and we start tomorrow. We have the guys on today. We have Tony and Megan here. We have Melissa, who we're going to meet in a second. We have our very, very dear friend Judy, who's going to step back to a couple of days a week, so she's going to hand off the baton to Melissa. We love you.
We love you.
That's so sweet, and we love everybody here. It's just been an unbelievable, now in our seventh year, ride in the generosity of the folks on the show and all the fans of the show. It's just utterly remarkable, and it really is the good in the world that we want to do in this way to celebrate the holidays. So just to steal Dave's thunder.
Yeah, please do.
Over the last 6 years, this campaign with our friends at Hardee's and their magnificently delicious chocolate milkshakes that are my favorite, it's raised almost $580,000.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
It really, truly is.
Utterly and completely amazing. And this program with Operation Backpack, which a lot of you know of, and Melissa will tell us more, but we raise every dime for this. One meal isn't put together and transported out to a school to a child unless we raise the money for it. And it's because of all of you that we can do it to the level that we do. So we can't begin to thank you. And what better way to celebrate the holidays
and
move forward for the rest of the school year and into the fall for the next year. And that's where the money goes. 100% of the money, every penny goes to this program.
Not only is it such a wonderful thing to do, I think it's a wonderful teaching moment. Like to take your little kids to Hardee's and say, look, I know it sounds crazy, but there are people out there who they can't afford Hardee's. They don't have food to eat. And by buying this idiot's sticker that looks like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, we're going to give a dollar towards that and talk about the backpack program. What a wonderful teaching moment for your kids.
Right. There's nothing that is sweeter than kids helping kids.
Yeah.
And to be able to understand that not everybody has the things, even if it's something really tiny that we have in our house. It's just the reason for the season a little bit in one particular way.
Well, introduce our new friend, Melissa.
Well, Melissa's a good friend of mine. We're buddies, and we're OFS buddies, and we have worked together for 13 years. But Melissa's actually in her 14th year at OFS, and she has been involved with the backpack program almost this entire time, along with other things. And she is now, I'm very proud to say, our chief program officer over all of our programs that we have, and is killing it and really helping our community because of her smarts and her good nature and her fabulous self. So
welcome
there you
to the
go,
DGS
Melissa.
Team.
Thank you. What a great introduction.
Yeah, that's great. So introduce yourself, self. Like, let us know who you are. Tell us about Melissa.
Yeah, so like Judy mentioned, I came to Operation Food Surge about 14 years ago now, and my job at that time was the Operation Backpack program. That's what brought me here, certainly what energizes me day to day. But now I have additional programs that also are focused on kids. We're doing things for kids year-round, so backpack functions during the school year, but we're also doing meal programs in the summer and after school. Right now we have something where you can go to libraries and other community centers to receive a meal after school. And then we also have food as medicine programs where we're focusing on moms and their babies. So, you know, we always have something exciting going on, and that's what's kept me there and that's what keeps me going.
I'm just sitting here thinking how it's all so relative. You know, like I've done fairly well, way beyond my talent. But like, I'm not going to buy Phoebe a Porsche. She's not going to go to Harvard. She has food. Right? Yeah. And there's some people out there who don't. And we just have to keep that in mind, that it's not like an exercise in Christmas spirit. It's an exercise in there are people who won't eat without you doing this. And I'm sure this is something that you even have to remind yourselves every day going in and packing these backpacks and such.
Well, absolutely. You know, we try to stay really close to what we can say the front lines, hearing feedback from the schools that we work with so that we don't lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing. We know that teachers sacrifice a lot for their students. And if this is one thing that we can provide to them to make their life easier so that they feel like a kid is going home to some sustenance so that they do come back the next day, you know, better prepared. We want to set everybody up for success, the kids and the teachers.
And then, as I understand it, all these years, the kids who are, get like a free lunch program, we were weighing them and finding out that they were losing weight over the weekends. And we found out, much to our dismay, that so many of them would go home and not have food. So these backpacks are food not only for them, but for their siblings. It's about $7 per child, is that right now, to do the backpack? Mm-hmm. About $250 to do a year for a child with the backpack program. Right. I love when people do that. We have so many people from the DGS. And by the way, we're going to tell you how to give in addition to Hardee's as well if you have a larger donation. Although you guys can take any size, right, Tone?
We absolutely can.
Yeah, very good. But a lot of people out there give $250 because that's what it takes to help one child. So that's very nice. Anything else about the backpack program we need to let people know about?
Well, I always like to let people know how far-reaching the program is. So it was probably 10 years ago when we realized that we just couldn't help everybody from where we were here in St. Louis, but that there's kids all around the region who also need this support. And so we work with a network of partners. So these are things like Lions Clubs and Rotary Clubs who are providing the backpacks directly to the kids with our support in providing them with some of the food that goes into the bag. And so we're hopefully sustaining their operations so that they can continue to provide the program to kids week after week. It's kind of a, you know, a hand-in-hand thing where they couldn't do it without us and we really can't do it without them. But we're able to expand over into Illinois and as far west as Montgomery County, as far south as Farmington. So we're really trying to encompass the region through that expanded network.
Very good. Tone, what's new at Hardee's?
Cinnamon raisin biscuits are back.
There you go.
Let's go.
And the blueberry biscuits. We got the last two in the whole county,
right? I think so. I think Rachel has them. So
look at the pull you have.
I feel so blessed right now. Like, thank you so much.
So, yeah, things are going well at Hardee's right now. We got candied bacon Frisco burgers. We got candied bacon biscuits right now. Cinnamon raisins are back through the holidays. This program's always near and dear to our hearts, too. My wife's a school teacher, so she kind of gets, you know, first view on that, right? She gets up front, and so we see it, right? We always talk about our neighbors, right? We could just be helping our neighbors without even knowing it, and that's okay.
Right.
And that's okay. So come see us, round up, give any amount of money you'd like to get, we'll get it to it.
Yeah, that's an important thing. You can give a dollar minimum and to get the sticker. You can give $5, $10, $50, $100, $1,000. We'll manage it great. Your money's going to go right where it's supposed to go. And then the stickers will be here next week. So you may have to go to Hardee's a couple, three times. We have people who will go multiple times and just take the kids, go by themselves. Like, just, you know, we all do this. Like, what's for dinner? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. Why don't you pick something up on the way home? What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? Make it Hardee's. Like, just make it that default for the holiday season. Go by, get breakfast, lunch, dinner. You can make a small purchase, make a big purchase, just round up or give a buck, and there you go. And that's how it works.
Easy as that.
Talk about your time. I know you're not, like, gone, but I mean, like, what has your career meant to you?
It's, I can't let go. That's the whole thing. I'm elderly. And, I had a whole lifetime, 35 years in advertising before this. Mm-hmm. So I was in sales. I had a lot of things in common with the folks here at DGS. And it's kind of interesting after working for the man and enabling a lot of profits to be made for businesses to be able to use the same skill set to go to Operation Food Search. And I was a really long time volunteer. So it really means the world to me. I have people very, very close to me in my life who were hungry kids. Mm-hmm. And I have learned that it never leaves a person, no matter how successful they are, how old they are, how much is in their pantries and refrigerators at home. When stress hits, that's kind of a fallback thing for people that I'm close to. Yeah. And so it's a way that I can honor them.
Yeah.
And I can't let go. I can't let go because of friends like Melissa. And when I see not only how the work that she does and the work that the other 53 people who do It's just, it lifts you up. And I always say, OFS, it's if you're really feeling down about the world, come over to our place and see all the things that we're doing on the sly a little bit, because it's our programs are complicated. And this is a deep-set societal issue.
Yeah.
That's been around since the dawn of time.
And people can do that, right?
And people can do that.
Yeah, they can come check it out. They can
come
volunteer.
Check it out for tours, and they can volunteer. And it's just a really lovely way to be on the front lines to help the community.
At this time
and behind
of year,
the scenes.
Are you pretty much 24/7 operation?
Not really 24/7, but our programs do. We have a push-out so that they are that way. We work with over 170 agency partners, which are like emergency shelters, safe houses, mostly food pantries, things like that. So work behind the scenes, pushing food out and working with programs. Like Backpack is behind the scenes, and we're pushing programs out through the schools. And with Backpack, it's not just the shelf-stable food that's going out to kids. We also are doing meal boxes and produce boxes now, too. So we realize we need to help the whole family.
Yeah,
so
very cool.
So that's where all of this comes from. It's thank you for asking. It's just... it's really gratifying to be able to say a little bit that I've done has done more than just help businesses grow, and that I can use the same things and to be able to help our most vulnerable here.
Well, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great year. I really do. I think, you know, just coming out of the election, regardless of who you were rooting for, we're all stressed out and just kind of tired and ready for some happy, ready for some...
Absolutely.
Dignity and helping, you know, your fellow man out. All the Hardee's around town, like if people can hear my voice and there's a Hardee's near, are they a part of it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Very cool. What's your new favorite thing or your favorite thing?
Candy Frisco burger is amazing. And I'll say the chocolate shake just for Judy.
Very
here.
Nice. So we'll get to know each other really well, Melissa. Welcome to the team. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
So we'll be telling you all about this between now and our live show, where we end up the DGS school year, basically, is going to be on December 20th out in the Valley, I believe, where we've done a lot of our shows. And we'll keep you up to date on everything Hardee's and Operation Food Search. Quick break. Right back.
Gotta be cool, relax, get on my...
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Oh my gosh, I'm crying. Gosh, it was so emotional doing Operation Food Search, and I was telling these guys about the volunteer work I'm doing with Bethesda, No One Dies Alone, and Judy's crying because she'd never heard of it, and she's like, that's amazing! I'm like, I know!
Well, Judy is just like the sweetest person, too, so I usually end up crying at some point.
Every time I see
Operation
Judy,
Food
I cry.
Yeah.
How about them snagging the last two blueberry biscuits in the world?
I truly do feel very blessed. Like, those are the perks of the job right there.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very humbled and grateful right now.
Yeah, very cool. What is an appropriate time to blow weaves? Leaves, because I...
I'm like, don't know what that is.
We had a thing in my neighborhood where you can blow the leaves out in the street and they'll pick them up, and it had to be done yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So I went out at 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday.
That's fine.
Oh, totally fine.
Totally fine?
9:30 is well within the positive plus range.
Okay.
I think anything after 9 is definitely clear. Like, clear. I mean, I don't know. In my neighborhood, people start doing stuff way earlier than that.
Yeah, that's got to bug you.
No, I don't hear anything.
Really?
I'm dead serious. I don't hear anything.
Do you sleep with like white noise on?
Nope.
Oh, just the...
No, just me.
The metal.
No, that's only when I fall asleep.
Do you wake up during the night typically?
Not usually. It happens, but
so you
not,
like,
not
close
normal.
Your eyes, then you open them and it's morning?
Most of the time. It's not, like the thing that'll wake me up more often than anything is like one of my arms will fall asleep. Like my shoulder, because I sleep weird, and I usually have like one over here, and then I won't be able to feel my arm, and I'll wake up for like 2 minutes, and then I'm sleeping again.
Day zero. Talk about how big. So we were started the show talking about me having Dad's Day for Tri-Delta at KU and how great it was, and Vivi made it on the Jumbotron, and just, you know, happy, happy, happy. And there's stories out there in the news. Maybe you've seen them. It's just kind of a story right now. It's a story in our show prep about how parents are embarrassing kids by partying so hard at college. So it's like, you know,
on these kind of parents trips
in general, like not even waiting for Mom's Day or Dad's Day or Parents' Day. They're just showing up at college and going out with their 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 year old kid and just buying everyone shots and getting S-faced. And thoughts?
I mean, it's
cut the cord.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad look. I feel like
it's a fine line.
The whole nation is having.
You want to be cool. You want to be fun. You don't want to be that person.
Yeah. And
I
don't. I think there's just an issue. We glorify youth so much in this country that I feel like once you do start to get older, it's like, how can I prove that I'm still young? And it's just not healthy. I don't think so.
Like when I raced my daughter's boyfriend.
Well, no, that's normal.
I don't know it's normal. But
no, I guarantee you there are dads and dads of, you know, kids that have done that with boyfriend, girlfriend. I mean, that's not weird. What's weird is I want to party with people that are half my age or younger.
That's
like,
not...
I don't have a problem with people of any age wanting to party and have fun. Go do it. But, like, get away from your kids. Like, college is for your kid to be by themselves, to learn how to be adults. To learn. They don't... I mean, like, it's... I would have killed my dad if he tried to do that. I would have been like, no, leave. Or we'll find a way to abandon you wherever we end up going. Like, you do not get to come with us.
I saw this weekend, I was just scrolling through TikTok, and there was this guy, and he's like, you need to download the Skibidi app, because it'll tell you all the new words that you're not using.
There's an app.
You got to get rid of your millennial lingo and pick up the Gen Z lingo. And I'm watching it going, like, first of all, please just, I don't want to be here anymore if I have to download the Skibidi app.
I'm
like, give me a break.
It.
And the thing is, no one, I'm not going to trick anyone. No one's going to be like, oh, she says that he has Riz, so I think she's 22 years old. Like, no one. I'm not going to trick anyone. They're all going to know I'm in my 30s. Like, what are we trying to do here, folks? I don't understand.
I totally agree, but it's pretty fun to drop that on them when they're not expecting it.
When we were standing, as soon as we got into Arrowhead Stadium, we were Phoebe and her girls went to the bathroom, and I was standing there with the dad who I didn't know. He's like, it's time for a beer. Let me buy you a beer. I'm like, okay. So he orders two beers, and they card him. Now, here's how weird I am. I was afraid they're going to card me because my license is expired, and I was afraid that you couldn't drink a beer if you couldn't operate a motor vehicle, you know, safely and legally. And so, but I'm 60. Like, again, if I'm 21, I'm dying of something horrible. So just give me a beer. And they didn't. But I was literally just like, I'm gonna embarrass myself in front of this guy. Sorry, sir, but seems that your license expired. No beer for you.
So I may or may not have forgotten my wallet at home today. How big of trouble am I in if I get pulled over on the way home?
Nah, not bad.
Okay.
You just tell them I forgot my wallet. And what they'll do is if they do give you a ticket, you can cure it, basically,
right.
Like a provisional
by proving
vote.
That I have a driver's license.
You just show up at the whatever, not court, because you won't have to do that, but wherever you would pay your ticket and show them, and then they're like, okay, you're good.
Yep.
Yeah, because I've never done that before, and I realized today I went to go buy gas, and then I'm like, oh, I don't have my wallet. I guess I can't get gas.
I remember one time being pulled over. This had been forever ago when I had my little Ranger truck, and my license was expired. I didn't have insurance. The plates were expired. And I remember as soon as the cop walked up, I said, we're about to go through some stuff together. And he laughed. Thank God. I still got nailed on all the tickets.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just how it is.
Were you thinking you could charm your way out of it, perhaps?
I was just trying to charm my way out of jail.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't want to go to jail again.
It worked.
Again.
I'm not going back, okay?
You'll never take me alive!
You can't take me back.
Dave running through the cornfields.
The Skibidi app. That made me mad.
So I don't know why, except that I love them. I know you guys don't like them. I love Whoppers, malted milk balls.
Oh, okay.
I bought some Whoppers. So part of my weekend was sitting on the couch by myself eating Whoppers out of a box. And I evidently dropped one, and it got underneath. So it is between my butt and a heated blanket.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And it looks like a tiny turd because it's a Whopper. And so about half an hour after the box was gone, I get up and I see that laying there. So what do you think happened?
I don't know. I would have eaten it.
Good. Good. I ate it.
Yeah.
I was wondering what the reeling might be.
Well, you knew it wasn't a tiny.
I was 90% sure. But you're never completely sure it's not a tiny turd.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have noticed if you produced it.
Never know.
Rach, I'm giving you 90%.
Listen.
Just take it.
Sometimes.
Kyle, can you hear us? It's 90% at best, right? That it's not a turd.
I don't think I have him pulled up.
That's okay.
He's just saying yes.
Yeah, he's saying yes. He understands.
Look, yeah.
Every man does.
Yeah.
Never trust
it. It's never 100%.
Never trust it.
Yeah, you can't trust it, you know.
No. Not when you're sitting there eating Whoppers.
Not when you're just sitting there.
Not when you're already couch rotting.
Yeah.
If ever you're going to have a tiny turd, it's when you're sitting there eating Whoppers.
Like, when did that happen? I hope it wasn't too long ago.
I don't remember you, my friend.
Oh. Dude, your beanie is really cool.
Really? How come?
It's just nice. It's red on red. It's a North Face logo, a red North Face
People
logo.
We'll see
and
it
a
on,
red
our,
beanie.
On our video later.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make a video for Operation Food Search in Hardee's, so they'll see it then.
I was wearing a red hoodie yesterday, and I was going to wear this, and I thought I'd look like the man who invented red, or like a brick wall or something, so this is my first time.
The man who invented
we're
red.
We're red much?
Okay, Sammy Hagar, we get it.
Easy, buddy.
Yeah, take it easy. Take it down a notch, okay?
Now, if you had red pants, too.
We get that you like red.
Yeah.
DGS on KMOX. It is Metal Day, National Metal Day.
Oh!
So we're playing you some metal wheels.
Let's go.
Well, I meant to.
Crank it.
Oh, you meant that?
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay.
It's Slipknot, right?
Hold on, I'm gonna bet. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, I love Billy Idol.
The feedback.
I don't know.
Where is that coming from?
That's because I keep turning my headphones
off.
He's
turning his headphones.
It's so good.
Oh, maybe we should.
Yeah, I'm
going to
turn it down a little in my ears.
Probably for the best. Probably for the best.
That's a good little fix right there. That's not enough, but it's a good little fix. Oh, that's great. Yeah, love them.
National Metal Day. To all who celebrate.
Let's go.
Yes.
Horns up.
To all who are observant.
Horns up.
Can I tell you a dork phase of mine that I completely forgot about? Every now and then I'll go on eBay, and I've been really good lately. I have bought 3 things in 3 months, and none of them expensive, just like, you know, cars. Sometimes I'll just look up like 70s toys, because that's kind of my wheelhouse for childhood. And I saw a telescope. One of those, like, it was white, black and white, but it was telescoping like a pirate, you know, let's see, you know, here. And I would carry it around all the time like it was a thing. Like, I was telescope guy, and I would try to find uses for it. I'd be like, oh, here comes Jimmy, you know, from 3 miles away. And I've always been looking for things like that would make people like me.
Mm.
Right? Did you ever do things like that?
Yeah, it was much less about making people like me because I realized how dorky I was being, but it was more like if I saw something on television and I thought I could try to reenact it. Like, a big thing for me was I was obsessed when people had a pointer that retracted.
Yeah.
And you could...
Like the back scratchers that are...
Yeah, kind of like that, but, you know, you can, like... it's like, oh, let me point to something. You take it out, and then you can point. And you could do that with a radio antenna, but that was unfortunately stuck to the radio.
Right.
But, like, there was one time it broke off, and it broke off, like...
Perfectly?
Legitimately and perfectly. And so then I had my pointer, and I was just like, I don't need anything else.
Pointing on things.
Cancel Christmas. I don't need anything.
The difference between, from my experience, that's the difference between a normal person that's a young woman and what a young boy would have been doing, which would have made that a weapon.
Yeah, 100%.
That would have been with it.
Yeah. Your buddy would have been like, I'll get one and we'll duel.
Yeah.
And we'd be doing, what do you call it? Fencing. Fencing. That's what it would be. It would be a foil. That would be what that would be. A weapon.
So you never once hit Big Dave Zimmerman with it?
No. Don't think
you're
so.
You're weird.
I don't like violence.
Like I said, you're weird.
That's why I can't rock with the Three Stooges. There's too much violence
too
going
much
on.
Violence.
How long did
too
you
stressful.
Go with the pointer? I'm this pointer person.
I mean, I wish I still had it. I would love to point at things in here.
I know what's coming for
it
Christmas.
It did not go away.
Did you ever want to be a teacher? You have kind of a teacher vibe.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of wanted to. But then I didn't really like school that much. I loved to play school, like at the end of the school year, and I had all my school supplies at home. But I mostly just loved to do art and play art class.
Yeah.
I was really anti-school as a kid. I really was. Because
that's surprising.
I was like, I watched a lot of Law and Order as a kid, and I was like, I should be a lawyer. And then I found out that you have to go to extra school to be a lawyer, and
no,
I was like,
thanks.
Never mind.
You're going to take this badly.
Okay.
I don't mean it badly.
It's okay.
You seem like you would have been more of a try-hard in school.
I wasn't. I did well. I did okay. I was smart enough to, like, know what was going on and be able to get good grades.
Yeah.
But I was never, like... I remember learning to study later in life and being like, I wish I would have figured this out earlier
skills.
On. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like...
Really is the first
thing
you should teach
kids. Turns out when you try, good things happen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still kind of learning that one.
Mm-hmm.
Wheels, were you a straight A kid all the way through?
Mostly, yeah. I probably stopped more like junior,
self-motivated,
senior year.
Or
A little bit of everything. Like I liked being at the top of the class. I liked competing with someone for something, whatever, regardless of what it was. But I also like my dad and my mom and dad did a great job of giving us incentives, like. We would get a certain amount of money for grades.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be, I don't remember.
You're a fan of that.
I don't remember what it was, but it was something like $5 for an A, $2 for a B, nothing for anything below that. And if it was below a C, if that had happened, the last thing you'd be worried about is money. You'd be getting your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom and dad were pretty much fine with C's, which means they got a lot of C's.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw no reason. None at all. I've told the story a million times, but it's true. When we were signing our senior year in high school yearbooks, someone said, hey, congratulations to someone else. Not me. I heard you got into Rolla. That's so fantastic. He's like, yeah, my GPA was just enough. And I said, not ironically, what does that stand for? And everyone really started laughing because they thought
GPA.
I was being funny.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. I had no idea, like, the permanent record was in any way a permanent record.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've been adding this stuff up the whole time, so.
Yeah, and you know, look, in fairness, my parents, they didn't push, like, in a negative way, like, you have to get good grades. It was more like when they saw when we were young that we were getting good grades, they wanted to say, all right, well, we know you're capable of this, so here's your incentive to do it. But then they also, my dad was smart about this. He sold me on the whole, look, man, if you want to go play sports in college, you're going to need scholarships. And the only way you're going to get that is if you get these, get these grades. So that's all I needed, man. You tied anything to a potential baseball thing, and I was all in.
And, you know, you look back, like, few things are as hard as you think they're going to be.
Yeah.
Just in life in general.
Yep.
There are some things that are real MFers to get through.
Yep.
The sickness of a loved one or your own sickness, things like that. But like school, you look back and you go, it really wasn't that hard.
No. Not if you had just maybe taken a few more notes.
Yeah.
Or started
like
a little
said,
earlier.
Just do your homework at night.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Don't wait till the next morning.
Yep.
Don't wait till the end of a month when there's a 1 month essay due. Just do the minimum and you'll probably do okay.
Yep.
I was just always like daydreaming or,
oh my God,
you know, working on some like picture that I was drawing or painting,
you
and
me both.
I just didn't want to pay attention. And then there were days like I would study for the quiz and I would get a 98 or 100% and I'd be like, but I can't seem to find the time every time. Like, you know, just very silly, very childish, which is what it means to be a child, I guess.
I got very competitive about that part.
Oh, nice.
About the, like, I mean, it's just the weird, you know, like, it's the competitive thing about me. Like, I'm like, oh, all right, well, I guess I have to do that for me now. Like, that's how my kid is. We didn't push her at all on grades. We never said, you've got to do this. She just was competitive about it. Like, she saw that she could do it, and that's what you, I mean,
competitive about everything else in life that didn't matter.
Yeah, no, but it doesn't mean it doesn't matter, though. I mean, people are competitive about what moves them and what interests them, and that's how it goes. That's why different brains do different things.
I don't know, being
things.
Able to snatch 20 quarters off my elbow hasn't really served me that well later in life.
Oh, but it's awesome, though.
I guess.
I love that trick, too.
Made Harold Benton laugh a couple times, so. It was so much more important to me than schoolwork.
Yeah, but think about it. Being competitive about making people laugh paid off.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Because that would be what you're like, oh, that was fun. I liked when they laughed. I'm going to do more of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all these years later, you get paid to make people laugh.
Why do you guys think I wrote down carnival mirrors?
Because the way they make you look funny or taller or shorter or...
You'd think, but nothing resonates with me on that.
Then I don't
Got
know.
Got nothing?
No, no, no.
Gotta pay more attention. I gotta write down more words.
More details?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting bad about that.
Are you?
I don't think the Heimers is here yet, but... But
let's not call it the Heimers.
But I, well, I'm on a first name basis with it now that I know I have the gene, so I think I'm going to call it whatever I want. But yeah, I noticed that if I write something down and then it percolates for a couple days, I'm like, that must have been interesting in some way to 2 days ago, Dave.
Oh, well, that's exactly why I have to set myself reminders on my phone.
Because
things that I thought of 2 days ago, I'm not going to remember if I don't do that.
I cursed at Siri this weekend. I'm not proud of it.
But what did Siri say back?
She said, I will not respond to that kind of language.
Really?
And I was like, oh, woo, okay.
Huh.
Provoking Siri.
Yeah, right.
Listen.
Trying to start a bigger... more global fight with her. This is so like you, Siri. I guess you're just not going to respond to anything.
She finally cracks.
What if Siri told you off and started listing all of the things that she had recorded?
What sort of freak curses at Siri? This kind. Well, I did.
I curse at all kinds of inanimate objects. I can't judge you there.
I was trying to navigate pretty early in the morning on Saturday. And I don't know about your phone, but mine does this thing. Like, it makes the little... black hole swirly thing, you know, look, we're AI. And then it makes a different pattern when I know it's about to tell me there's a problem. Maybe try again later. And I'm like, I can't try again later because I am driving to Kansas right now.
Yeah. Yeah, been there. I was yelling at my Xbox yesterday.
I said the F word too.
Yep, I did too.
Did you really?
A bunch of times.
Did the F
like
word,
loud.
Did the Xbox respond in any way?
No, it didn't.
Siri did.
Yeah.
She cut me off.
Oh,
she
really?
Let me know she was not going to respond to that kind of language.
We do not talk that way in Siri land.
I mean, honestly, good for her. Like, it's nice that they have that programmed in because, you know, people would just be abusing the dang thing nonstop.
Like, if she actually responded and said, like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, it got all bad boyfriend John Stamos from a Lifetime movie with her.
You're getting, like, way too personal. You're like, maybe if you had a life, you would understand what it's like to be driving to Kansas.
Maybe if
but
you had a body.
Maybe if you had blood in your veins, Siri. I don't know.
What if you had veins? If you were a real person.
She gets really upset. She just stops responding.
I saw a story.
The silent treatment.
Giving me the cold shoulder. Come on,
hey, Siri,
I say I'm sorry.
Hey, Siri, can I get directions to Arrowhead Stadium?
You're like, hey, Siri. She's like, what?
I have the directions, but can you have them? No. No.
You're so smart. You could figure it out yourself.
Oh, get this. So picture Arrowhead Stadium. Picture a stadium, everyone. Then picture an enormous parking lot next to it.
Yep.
Thousands and thousands of cars. Now picture another parking lot next to that.
Yep.
You have an idea how far away we are?
Yeah.
Guess how much I paid for that?
Oh, probably 50, 60 bucks.
$65.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
$65 to be a half mile away from the stadium.
Yep.
Because when we knew where we had
to
be.
For a game that was not
a college
game. But it wasn't a full stadium.
No. No, probably 3/4.
Yeah.
But think of the money they're making on that. I mean, I know it's a NFL team and they make billions of dollars, but just multiply 65 times 40,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't because I didn't study in school, but
ask
if Siri were speaking to me, I could ask Kurt. Welcome back, guys. DGS. Milk Throat. Total Milk Throat there. 248. That was chicken tender throat from Hardee's. That's a much better kind of throat
to
have.
Yeah, those are good.
Eating Whoppers that came out of my butt. Oh, I've had some Whoppers come out of my butt. Tomorrow. Yeah, not today. By all means, go by Hardee's today. But tomorrow is when our Hardee's Operation Food Search starts. The deal is we made a new Christmas sticker that has me as Rudolph. And you pay a buck, you get one of those stickers, put it on your laptop, throw it away, whatever you want to do with it. And that's going to go to feeding kids, especially to the backpack program. So far, you guys, I've made my own donations and done my own stuff, but I certainly haven't done this much. It's all you guys. $579,000 over the past 6 years. That is a really impressive year-over-year average. We will hit $600,000 this year, which means that the DGS has provided $6 million worth of food. Because Operation Food Search can take a dollar and stretch it into 10 with their partnerships with Schnucks and Deerbergs and lots of local places and farmers and things like that. They actually will go out into the fields and glean good food that's going to go to waste and appropriate that for families who are food insecure. It's going to go between now all the way through Thanksgiving, all the way to December 20th, when we will be out at the Hardee's in the Valley, which is kind of our home base Hardee's out there. And we'll do the final live show with all of us show of the year, which is always tons of fun. And it's sort of like a Jerry Lewis telethon where at the end, people are coming in and bringing, you know, $200 checks and $1,000 checks. And it's just so cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back in the Valley this year, too.
Me, too. Yeah.
It's just a little, I think it's a nice central location mm-hmm. for everybody, and that's kind of the OG spot that we started yeah. broadcasting from, so that'll be really cool to be out there.
Yeah. Do you think, this is a esoteric existential Dave question, to what extent, because certainly there's an extent, but to what extent do you think, as Wheels and I always talk about how blissful the 80s and 90s were because we didn't know anything, we didn't want to know anything. You had the news at 5 and 10. You had this thing called cable, which you kind of watched CNN a little bit, but it certainly wasn't 24/7. To what degree has being hyper-aware through 24/7 media and social media affected our happiness, do you believe? Knowing everything, whether you want to know it or not.
Boy, that's a great question. I think that it is no question about it. It has had a negative impact on people's outlooks and on how people feel about it. But I think the reason why it has been worse than it should be, we should be able to get all of the knowledge and all of the news and all of the things that are going on, but we never get it straight. We're always getting it with a spin. We're always getting it with an opinion attached to it. We're always getting it in a way that it's like we're the only ones telling you the truth. So if you're hearing it from someone else, they're wrong, they're liars, and they're the enemy.
And ignore them.
Yes.
Stay away from them.
Yeah. If we were getting this amount of news 24/7, but it was done in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s ways of Walter Cronkite reading the news, of Dan Rather back in that time, it'd be
would
fine.
Make a big difference.
I think it would make a difference, and it would bother people because we know things now that we would never have known before. You know, ignorance is bliss in that way. But it wouldn't be as split if news didn't become politics, as opposed to politics being a subcategory of news. It has now replaced news as a television program.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
I mean, I think there's good and there's bad with social media. For me,
man, social media could go away tomorrow and I would not care. I would actually be happy. I'd be like, all right, great. Now I can focus my energy on other places. Not that I'm spending so much time and energy on it, but you know what I'm saying. That being said, I know there are tons of people, there are people listening who are like, what are you guys talking about? Social media connects me to my family. I run a business on social media. I'm an influencer and I'm able to make money off of it. So I think it's all about where you put your focus. For me, I have the tendency to put my focus on the negative, whether it's me feeling not good enough if I see certain things, or I'm on Twitter and I'm looking at all these things like Wheels just described, like with the news. I get caught up in that and I feel bad and I feel like it's a waste of my time. But for some people, they're able to look past that. Andrew's a great example. He always says, like, I love being on the internet. I don't have negative feelings about it ever.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I think it's just, you know, different for different people.
Yeah, it's probably more of a hobgoblin to me because I'm not on it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I have a couple people in my life who recently had knee replacements, and now I've unlocked a new fear. Even though I've never abused my knees or, you know, been a beat cop or a nurse or a teacher or something, I probably won't need a knee replacement. But I've seen how hard it was for them, and I don't want it for me. And I see social media and the way it goes bad for people. And I thank my lucky stars that it's one thing in my life that doesn't go bad because I'm not on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to see everyone's opinions. I mean, I get enough of people's opinions on the show and watching news and just general life, you know. And that's another thing that's really interesting is that opinions were few and far between. People, you think back to our younger years, Wheels, not only were we younger and you just didn't care about anyone's opinions.
Right, which is a big deal when you're young.
But
yeah.
Even when we were grown-ups, it would have been bad form. It would have been weird if I was just like, hey, friend, guess what? I think XYZ. You're like, I don't give a rat's ass what you think.
Yeah.
But now it's almost like you owe it to people.
I don't even know if it's that. I just think, you know, people see like the pundits on television and they go, well, I have opinions too. Like, what makes you more qualified than me to share your opinion? Like, why would someone listening care what Rachel Zimmerman thinks about politics? I just have a job on the radio. I'm not a political consultant. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's fair when people want to share their opinions online, but it also can be very frustrating.
Yeah.
It's just a lot at once.
But one thing that's true too, and this, we saw this with the Jason Kelsey thing last week. We have a large number of people now that have grown up where you say things without consequence.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're saying them anonymously because really on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, you're only you if you tell people you're you. Like if your name is Johnny Sixpack 4.2, nobody knows that you're this real person that has this real job unless you put it out there, right? Or unless you do something so terrible that people track you down using your IP address.
Good point.
So it brings a level of discourse that doesn't exist in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Sixpack 4.2 is right up there with Ramjet. I'm not going to lie to you. That's pretty cool.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.